Susan. It's Paula. How are you? Well, Susan might be a few minutes late joining us. It's Paula Hillick here, author and founder of Think, Care, Share. And usually joined by me is my soul sister, Susan Mullen. We've been having some technical difficulties, so she probably has signed off and is trying to get back in. This week's topic was picked by Susan. It's called, the topic is, if you fall in a rut, don't lie there and furnish it. And we got that idea based on a conversation that we were having last week.
Hi, Paula.
Hello. Is that you, Susan?
I'm here, and I apologize for getting kicked off. But keep going. You're doing great.
I just going to say a warm welcome to anyone who's joining us, who's listening on the call. We're so happy to have you here, and we're so happy to be talking about this week's subject. But now that my dear friend and soul sister Susan has joined, I'll let her take over and lead us as she usually does with prayers of protection and a card and just letting you know what we'll be talking about again this week. Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Thank you. I am having problem with audio tonight, so if I skip in, so I'm sorry. I don't know what that's about, but that will be fine. So anyway, I want to say hello and a welcome to everybody to tonight's show. And hi to Paula. I love to just say hi and catch up first a little bit, just sort of chit-chat before we get into the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the conversation and before I pull a card and just kind of say, how was your weekend, really, because it's only Tuesday. How was it, Paula?
You know, it's so weird because we do this show every week, and I feel like in between our shows is a month. It's almost like when you say, hey, how was your week and what happened? You know, our lives are so busy and so jam-packed, it's almost difficult for me to remember what I've done. Last week was a particularly busy week for me work-wise, and as you know, or maybe you don't, Susan, because your kids are a bit bigger now, it was actually the last week of school last week, so my little guy is now on summer vacation, so that's lots of fun. And we went away this past weekend up to my brother's cottage. So we were hanging out. I was hanging out with one of my brothers and one of my sisters and all of the, and their kids. So it's a lot of fun for my son, Dylan, because he's an only child. So to be in a cottage where there's, you know, anywhere from 6 to 12 other children running around at any given time, he's just thrilled, just thrilled. Just can't get over himself the choice of activity. You know what I mean? There's always something.
Yes.
So that's really what I've been up to, work and a little bit of play. Tomorrow actually is Canada Day here in Canada, so everybody has the day off. And we all have to remember to go out and do our grocery shopping because the grocery stores are closed tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting.
Well, yeah.
Our groceries, it's funny, in the United States, you know, where I am anyway, our grocery stores never close. They're open Thanksgiving and Christmas for hours sometimes.
Cut down. Like,
I'm not a big fan of that. I would love for them to close. Some of the big chains close on Christmas Day or at least, but you know what? I really want to say they're open for like 4 hours. I don't know why they just assume we don't have our stuff together and, you know how to shop for the holidays, but we do. I just, you know, I'm just one of those who would love to just have some of the national holidays just really for everyone to enjoy because, you know, that's my business too, my husband's business.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My husband, the company that he works for, they have a lot of employees who are not Christians. And actually, that's something that someone said, which is for, you know, a large population here in Canada, they don't celebrate some of the traditional holidays. Now, Canada Day is Canada Day, but for a lot of the holidays are centered around Christian religious traditions, which a big part of the population,
right,
especially in the cities, don't really practice anyway. So to them, some people say they're just as happy picking up a shift and working on those days.
That's very true. And like where we work, we have 3 stores, and a lot of non-Christians are like, I'll work. So it works out,
yeah.
You know, I guess it does. And you're right, because that's a very good point, is that it's not, you know, it does. It's just whatever you want it to be. It's nice if it can be for you. And
yeah, my husband and I just feel very blessed that we both are in occupations where we, you know, we don't work shifts, we don't work the evenings, we don't work weekends. We feel really lucky about that in our lives. Susan, we may have lost her again. So I'm sure she's frantically hanging up because we can't hear her and dialing back in, although each time this happens, she lets me know that she can hear me perfectly fine. So hopefully she'll be in here sooner than later. This is very weird. We've never had this happen before. But, hey, we're flexible. We sort of go with the flow. Nobody's paying to listen to us have this conversation. So we hope we're setting a good example for just being flexible and taking it as it comes. So, again, I love this topic. If you fall into a rut, don't furnish it. When Susan gets back on, she'll join us. But one of my very favorite stories, apparently it's from a book or maybe a collection of poems by a woman named Portia Nelson. And I'm just going to read it here while Susan's
Hi.
Getting back on. So,
I'm
Susan,
back,
are you with
go
us?
Go ahead, Paula.
Okay,
I am,
perfect.
But go ahead, Paula. You're right in the middle.
All right. I love this poem, and it kind of sets the stage for what we're going to get into talking about later on, which is, here's the poem. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find my way out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there, but I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It is my fault, and I get out immediately. Walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. I walk down another street. And I love this story. And earlier I was talking to Susan about it, and one of the things that I love doing with this story when I read it is just trying to figure out what section I'm in. Am I falling in a hole I don't see but blaming someone else? Am I falling in a hole that I pretend I don't see and am I blaming someone else? Am I falling in a hole that I do see but I know that, you know, now it's my fault? I see the hole, I'm falling in it, and am I getting out? Do I get myself out? And when will I start choosing to walk down a different street? I love this as a foundation, as a scaffolding for our talk tonight. What do you think, Susan?
I totally agree. I think it's a great poem that really puts the onus on us. It's like, it's all about the perspective. You know, sometimes we just get so, we're in a habit. We're just used to seeing the same things and doing the same things day in and day out that it becomes comfortable without realizing it's as simple as tweaking a choice of just taking a different path or looking at something differently. And that the power is within us and not within the rut. The rut isn't gravity. It's not pulling us into it. We're just not paying attention. We're the ones, you know, choosing our what we choose to do and choose to think and choose to say and choose to respond by free will. But often it's you know, those audio tapes that go through our heads. You know, a lot of it is that. A lot of it is habit. But just being aware is when change can happen. So I love it. I love that it's a simple, you know, poem, and it has a big bang to it. So I really love that.
So I'll just say again, this is, I think it's called There's a Hole in My Sidewalk by Portia Nelson. If you Google it, you'll be able to find it. And I copied it and printed it out for myself and just asked myself, you know, like you said, the choice is ours, the perception is ours. You know, what paragraph are you in? Are you choosing a new street?
Mm-hmm. And what role do you play in your rut? You know, do we just show up every day with, okay, you know, look up at the sky and say, come on, rain, I'm here. You know, are we pulling it towards us? Well, probably not. And so what can we do?
Now, did you want to tell everyone about your week? Go back and tell everyone.
I wanted to share. Thank you. I wanted to share a quick story about something just very cool and interesting. And it's sort, you know what? It's sort of one of these rut things because I'm in a rut right now, Paula. And I sort of told you today earlier about it when my daughter was in a little car accident. Just not, she's fine. The other person is fine, but it was a little crunch, a big crunch to my car. Well, what precipitated it was very, very interesting to me. Because I happened to be outside on my deck and I was doing an energetic protection type of thing for myself and a friend. And so I was out there and it's probably a 10-minute meditative type thing that I do. And I just call in, you know, my team, his team, our angels and God.
Now, Susan, if you are now talking, you have lost audio again, which is too bad because you're in the middle of what sounds like a really great story. And I love hearing how you prepare for some of the work that you do. That's maybe another show that we should do is preparation for some of this stuff. But while we're waiting for Susan to come back in, you know, I can certainly talk about stories in my life where I have been in holes and not been able to see my way out, not realizing that I myself put myself there or how I could get out of it. But of course, as we know from many conversations, from the conversations we've had so far on the show, that, you know, most of the time the reason we're choosing that same path is because we're afraid of the unknown. So our fear of the unknown is greater than the fear of that hole that we might fall into and continue to stay in. And actually, I think on the very first show that we ever did, I talked about that book, one of those books, Who Moved My Cheese, I think is what it's called. And I think, I can't remember the author, but it was largely written and used in corporate settings to help employees deal with change. Because, you know, it's really one of the reasons that most of us don't make changes. You know, I always say this all the time. It's not that we don't know what to do most of the time. It's just that we're afraid to do it. So, Susan, I don't know, have you come back on the call here?
Yes, I am back.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And this time I called in on a different landline, so it should not happen again, and I'm sorry.
No problem. We're flexible.
Okay.
We're good. So
we are.
You were just getting to the good part in your story.
I know, it's not even Mercury retrograde. So, anyway, I know. So I'm in my state, my meditative state, and I'm, you know, I love this protection thing that I do, and, you know, I'm putting us in it, and I'm calling in, you know, Michael Archangel is right there. So, you know, I have a sense, I always have a sense when he's there, because I have a previous connection to him, and he's really the one I'm most familiar with, although I feel like some others were there too. But anyway, during this, suddenly my daughter's face, just in my vision, just my eyes were closed, but her face is just right there. The same time I had the feeling of include her. So I'm like, oh, hi, you know, Emily. So in my head, I just put her right in line and I surrounded her with protective energy and da-da-da, whatever it is I do. And then that was it. You know, a few minutes later, it was done and over, and I come in the house, and my cell phone's ringing, and it's Emily. This is probably a good half hour, I would say. I can't remember if it's half hour or 45 minutes later. And she's calling me on the side of the road, and she's like, Mom, I'm in an accident, but I'm okay, and da-da-da. And it didn't really occur to me what happened, you know, out there on the deck when I was doing the meditation until later in the day, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I put her, she showed up, and I don't know, you know, I just thought that was, like, the coolest thing about connection, and, you know, like, when we're open or when we're available, we get the signs, and I did.
Amazing.
I just feel like because I was an open vessel and already, you know, kind of there, they were like, oh, boom, you have an opportunity here, and so I look at it as, yes, we're both in a rut because she and I, you know, we're sharing my car this summer while she's home from college. And you know, we don't have a car right now, although we're going to get something else. But, you know, but I'm really choosing to look at it as I had an opportunity to maybe make, I don't know, but I protected her. You know, there was something there. There was an energetic response, and I'm just so grateful of being able to do that. I don't know. I don't know how much of a difference it would have made. I just don't, but that doesn't matter. It's the perspective of wow, and that it, you know, that it happened. It was an opportunity, and just to be open for it, to take a different road, because instead of like using my logical mind and going, oh, why is she in my head? I need to start over. I included her instead. And that's sort of like, you know, the thing when we're trying to kind of get out of our minds and more into our feeling, you know, just trusting what shows up. I was trusting that my feeling to protect her was what I should do. And maybe it was. So that was a cool
story. Was the car
totaled? No, but the front was smashed. It's on my Facebook page. There's a picture. I put it on my Susan Mullen Intuitive Living. And with that story, mostly, really, it's not that I share my stuff every day that way, but to just share how, you know, the intuitive part of being open, perhaps, you know. And I'm not, I don't think she would have been hurt. I really don't. It wasn't that kind of a crash. But
yeah.
She had her seatbelt on, and I had, you know, maybe it was just a sign that, oh, you're going to get a call in a half hour. I don't know. But whatever it was, there she was. And I just, you know, I don't question it anymore. It's fine. But, no, so the car can get fixed. It's so that part will be fine. It's not totaled. But it's banged up.
You are still in the middle of a transition for you. Like you've talked about before in the show, you're an empty nester. You're transitioning from, you know, a long-time career into another career, but not just transitioning. I mean, that one's over. And I always think that even, like, I have moved from places I disliked living in and then felt grief when I was out of them.
Yes.
You know what I mean, Susan?
Yes, I do.
Very natural for, even when you're letting go of something you don't like a relationship, a friendship, a job, a home, you know, some moving on to something, at least for me, and I think for lots of other humans, we feel a bit of grief. We feel a bit of, yeah, of depression, of mourning. That's the word I was searching for there, you know. So even when it's something maybe we didn't want anymore and we wanted to let go of.
Right.
You know, I talk a lot about being one of the oldest of seven kids and not growing up with a lot of things. And, I mean, I would mourn the loss of just about everything because most of it, you know, was either taken or destroyed or lost. But an
right.
interesting thing happened to me when I had Dylan, which is, you know, nothing that Dylan ever has is permanent. He's going to outgrow it, outgrow the size of it, outgrow the functionality, outgrow the need for it. But what I've done with him is really wait till he's prepared to move on with it. And then, you know, our rule here is what's ever been given to us, we give to someone else. And whatever we buy, we then try to sell for money. So our exchange is that. And so he's gotten a lot of joy out of, there's a place here in Ontario and in other provinces, I think, called Once Upon a Child. It's a store where you take your used things and they'll take some of them and they'll buy them from you and then they'll resell them. So he's enjoyed that process and it's really helped him with learning how to let go with joy. And then equally he enjoys the process of handing things over to his cousins and the little boy that lives across the street and seeing their joy in getting to wear it and how happy the things make them or getting to play with it. So I've really worked at helping him have joy about letting things go because it was
right.
a real struggle
That's
for
great.
Me.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you phrased let go with joy. You know, but I love that concept. And I love that you're teaching a young boy, your child, this at this age because change, this is that rut thing. This is a great segue into our conversation because our rut is when we're doing the same thing, but perhaps why is it a rut? Do we need to let go of it? We're conditioned to just not want to change. We don't like change. But it's natural. We need it. We need fresh air. We need a different perspective. We need to move on because if we don't let go and move on, what else is there to learn or do? Why are we even here? So those, I love that he's learning this, you know, let go with joy, because there's always going to be enough. There's always going to be something else coming
that's,
in.
There's always going to be
and
something else.
That's right. He's learning this. This is one of his audio tapes that you're creating for him, which is priceless. You know, these are things, you know, there are a lot of people my age, and myself included, I have some, you know, that I catch myself saying or thinking is, well, it's always been. Well, wait. That word always is, ooh, kind of harsh. It's one of the should words, like, no, you don't should yourself to death. You know, there's no should, it's could. And, you know, always is so permanent. No, it was that way once. You know, I'm really trying to reframe my own words. So that I think it's wonderful how you do that for your son, because it's important. It's important.
Have you heard the movie? I think it's pronounced The Grodes.
I have not. No.
You might not, because again, your kids are older and you're probably not watching animation a whole heck of a lot.
Right.
But it's it's The Croods or something like that. It's Croods, The Croods, and I love this movie because it's about a family of cave dwellers, and every night at dusk they run into their cave and put the big rock in front. The dad pulls the rock close, and they've never been outside at night because the world is too dangerous. And then the main character of the show, I can't remember his name, he comes, and he's, I don't know where his family is. I need to really watch the show again, but it's all about the stuff that we're talking about, which is, you know, if you just stay inside your cave because you're afraid of what might be out there, your life is very, very small and full of very, very few adventures, and every day is the same and turns into the next. And that, of course, is a kind of depression. Many of us are on that sort of rat race, right,
yeah.
That treadmill of just going to work and living for the weekends and working to pay bills. You know, a lot of people are really discontented with this kind of life, and it's not for everyone. Me, myself, I become really attracted to that all those shows, the Tiny Home Nation shows, where they're building houses and living off the grids, and people are going back to sort of gypsy lifestyles again. I love it.
Right.
I just found Facebook a family who sold everything they owned, because I think the husband, I don't know exactly what he did, but something he can do by computer, and they bought one of those, you know, those silver kind of bullet trailers?
Yes, yes.
And they're going to every single national park in the States, and they spent a year doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I have almost a wanderlust for these kinds of lifestyles these days, just getting out and exploring the world and meeting new people, and that's what this what this movie is about. So if you haven't checked it out, I love animation. I'd watch animation even if I didn't have a child, but it's really mm-hmm. worth watching with that message.
Mm, oh, that's great. You know, and it's true. We are drawn to them because we're seeing how people are really choosing and living well with less. With less around them, less energy, less energetic stuff. And everyone is really being, not everyone, but these people in a lot of what we're seeing, a movement, is like people are really trying to get back to nature. People are trying to get in the woods again. We've cut them down for hundreds of years, but human beings need to put their feet on the grass, in the sand, on the ground, hands in the dirt, you know, and grow their own
and
food.
And be in the element.
Again. And be in the element. It's just natural. And when we've built these skyscrapers and we've built these walls that separate us from the elements and from animals and from birds, and we wonder why we're not happy, you know. But this is a show about ruts, right? You know, you and I, that's what I love about our shows, probably because we go everywhere. We can just, we turn the conversation on a dime.
Well, I think being stuck in the ruts of these routines is another rut. There's kinds of different ruts, being stuck in the rut of a particular occupation and tied to being in that occupation to earn our pension. You know what I mean, Susan? Like, everyone is tethered it to their rut in different ways.
And for different reasons.
It could be because of a change. It could be because of a particular pattern or routine in your life that's really not serving you anymore, but you're afraid of what could be, what you're –
you know, what you are letting go and what could happen in the future if you quit that job that's attached to the pension that you've been at for 20 or 30 years. I mean, I know people that have done
it. Oh, me too. I do too. Oh my gosh. It's so common. And, you know, and that's the thing, like, when you look at it as, okay, well, I'm going to give this company most of my life because I need a decent end of life. There's one way to look at it. And when it's said that way, it kind of makes you go, whoa, wait a minute. Look what I just said. I'm giving my company the best years of my life and my life, a lot of times, so I am guaranteed a decent end of life.
Do you know
so that's
the
a reframe.
Do you know the philosopher Alan Watts?
Yes. Well,
so
I'm
if you,
not
again,
too,
Google
too
on YouTube, there's a whole thing called something like, what was it called? What would I be doing? I'm actually, because I'm sitting at my desk, I'm going to Google it here while we're on the show. We get to do this.
Yeah.
So what would I be doing if I didn't need the money? It's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really, he talks about us, exactly what we're talking about, us being in a life where we are tied to doing what we don't like to do so we can earn money and then continue, you know, go on, again, performing a job that we don't like doing. And you know, and we've all taught our children to do the same thing.
Right. Our passion and purpose, we can have a wonderful life of harmony by working for the man, you know, whatever, and knowing that pension is out there, as long as we make space to contribute our gifts. That's all it is. A lot of times we think it's one or. It's not. I've done both for years, you know, and I, as you just said, I just sort of was able to release one that was asking to go, though. But it wasn't that, I don't want to do it anymore. I loved it. It's part of me. I'm a photographer. I'm just releasing that part in order to pay more attention to this part. That's all that's about. But I was always doing both. I always brought in that purpose and passion. And it doesn't mean it's wrong, you know, working and having that pension. That's not always wrong. But if it's a rut to you, you can reframe it and go, how can I add joy, you know, and find and still be me and all of that. You know, change the path every day that you go to work so you can scatter who you really are around or do that other, you know, painting on the weekend or something. Anyway.
You know, I agree. And as you know, I belong to a women's group here, and they meet once a month. And the acronym for the women's group is WINE, WINE. So it's like women, I can't remember what the, like, networking, women something, networking and entrepreneurial club or something like that. And it's really interesting because people generally come to the club or come to the group when they are at a crossroads, when they're really unhappy. They're unhappy at work or they've just lost their job or they're running a business and it's not making any money and they want to know, you know, if they should break into something else. And, you know, sometimes there's 30 and 40 women there, all various ages, doing various things, various levels of successes. And what I often see is when someone's in a rut and they come to the group has lots of fabulous ideas. And I've said this to you before, Susan. It's like the person who's in that rut has become their own sort of blocker. And as I sit there and watch all these women who are sitting around a table offering suggestions and ideas to help, I see the individual. It's almost like they've got those Wonder Woman bracelets on and they've brought their wrists up and they're sort of blocking every suggestion that's being made.
Yes.
So as you're sitting there tonight, Susan, and you're saying, find ways to sprinkle who you are around and bring more of it into your life, I can literally hear people who are listening say, you know, but I don't have time, and I'm so tired, and I'm raising kids, and I've got a house to clean, and I've got things to do. All those obstacles, all the reasons we stop ourselves from doing these things. So, again, to me, it all goes back to fear. I think sometimes raising those obstacles, we don't like where we are. I guess we could perceive that – the circumstances are real, but to me, they don't have to be an obstacle. And I was there once too. I was in the hole once too. And you just have to find a way, you know, sit up, then stand up, then, you know, look out,
yeah,
and then climb out, you know. And
exactly.
And you may fall into that rut again, but you just have to keep believing that you can get up out of it and eventually choose a different path. And, you know, we haven't read the card today, and I do want you to read that. But before we go there, I want to say this. You know, I certainly grew up in a family where there was this idea that if God wanted it to be a different way, he would make it work out for me, right? You know, my mom was just a big believer in, you know, one of my mom's most favorite expressions is, we'll see, which really means I'm not going to do anything, and I'm going to see what God does. And I think mm-hmm. I had shared with you before that I remember seeing Oprah on her show. I've also seen it on Facebook and, you know, on YouTube, where, you know, she talks herself about having been in her 20s and being in a rut and crying to God for help, help me, help me, help me, help me. And she said, you know, and what she realized was all those years that she was waiting on God, God was waiting on her. And
right.
That reminds me of that story that everybody knows, that kind of parable story, the, you know, the God will save me story, where there's a big storm or a big flood coming and the man doesn't leave his house because he says God's going to save him. And the neighbors come with a car and want him to come, but he won't come because God's going to save him. And the waters rise and then somebody comes by in a motorboat or a canoe and he won't go because God's going to save him. And then he's on the roof because the water's that high and a helicopter comes and lowers its ladder and he won't go because God's going to save him. And when he eventually gets swept away by the water and drowns, and he gets to heaven, he says to God, why didn't you save me? And God says, you know, I sent the car, I sent the boat, I sent the helicopter. You know, what more could I do for you? You weren't seeing the signs. You weren't taking the help that was offered. And this, you
right.
know, you
Pay
and I
attention.
Say often, nothing exists in a vacuum. Everything is related. It's really the same messages every week, which is start allowing, open yourself up, quit blocking the offers, and when the help is offered, take it. When the suggestion
right.
is
exactly.
made, take it.
Right. You know,
that's
it's funny. I love one of my favorite quotes is, the rock in your path just may be a stepping stone.
Yes.
And that's perspective. I see a boulder. Oh, my gosh. Do I go up, down, around? How do I get around it? I'm going to sit here and wait for someone to come save me, or God will, or I didn't put that. It's like, who put the cheese? You know, who took my cheese? Whatever. You know, something out of the ordinary is suddenly blocking where you intended to go. But perhaps it's a stepping stone. It's you are to do something with this in order to move forward. So, you know, and oh, what did you just say earlier that I wanted to talk about, that just touch upon, you know, that people are always looking for, you know, the way out or whatever. And it's like if they just found their why, that just came to me. It's like if you know why you need to get out, you just need to concentrate on why. Your why is going to be your way. And that's motivation. That's fuel. That's inspiration. And it's very individual. So, like, if you're working with someone, if I am, I need to find out why. I need to find out why you're talking to me, why you need to do this or that before I can even begin to sit there, because it's not going to be my why. It's not my issue, or, you know, that sort of thing. So if people can just think of why is something different, better for me? You know, do I need to get through this, get out of it, or learn to let go, that sort of thing. So, all right, I will pull a card. Let me pull a card because we haven't done that. This is for us, the collective audience, anybody listening live now or in future broadcasts. And while I'm shuffling the deck, I am going to put the number out. So anybody wants to call with a question or perspective or anything about tonight's show, the number is 917-889-7074. We would love to hear from you tonight. So if you fall into a rut, don't furnish it. Don't stay there. don't make it a home, don't get comfortable. All right, I'm going to pull a card. This is for everybody around. What can we do? What is the message tonight that we all need to hear? Here it is. Okay, let me read it. Forgiveness is the healer of the soul. So this card was in reversed position. This card is a message urging you to make amends for any harm you've done to another. Appraise yourself honestly. How have you been selfish, greedy, or inconsiderate of others? Have you harbored resentment towards those who have harmed you in the past? Practice deep and radical forgiveness. In order to be free, to know healing, you must surrender old hurts and begin anew. Forgiving yourself and loving yourself is important too. Be humble and willing to admit to your weaknesses. Know the imperfections of the human personality. Walk tall as you take the path of the shaman, the wise elder who is willing to go into the shadows to bring healing to old wounds. Well, that card, I think, is, at first I was starting to read it and was quite, and I knew this card, but I'm like, how? And, oh, now I get it. This is the old audio tapes. These are the old wounds. These are the forgiving of yourself. Yes, you're not perfect. You're not going to get it right. You might keep falling down. Maybe you're making the same mistake. Forgive yourself. Know the human traits, the personality. Go on. Walk tall anyway. Be the shaman, the wise elder who's willing to go into the shadows anyway to bring healing to old wounds. It's like getting out of the rut and the perceived rut. Yeah, that word just came up. So perceived rut. Not all ruts are. Some are just perceived. Some are born of old wounds. So this is a very great, cool card for anyone who might be listening, or myself, or you. Because that sort of perception, and the word perceived is coming up. So you have to really pick your poison here and choose your ruts carefully. They're not all ruts. They're just stepping stones. Often, that's how opportunity shows up. It's usually hard work. It's, you know, God, like you were saying, God, I need a job. I need to feed my family, da-da-da. Well, you look in the paper and there's, or someone calls you and goes, I need help down at my store. Oh, I don't work at stores. Or I don't deliver pizza. Well, okay. Well, you wanted to be fed and you needed money and you don't know how God works, right? So that's that perception. So I thought
that
was
an interesting
twist.
You know, I really love the card too, because somewhere earlier today, or certainly within the last couple of days, you know how when I'm posting for my Think, Care, Share Facebook page, often themes will emerge. It's, I guess I'm drawing to me what it is that I need, or I'm attracted to what it is that I need. And as I'm sort of embarking, you know, on this next phase in my life, what I realize is that, you know, I have to heal old wounds and I can't even say it. Normally, I'm quite articulate, but I can't even speak it out. I have to do a lot of healing around forgiving and loving myself. You know, the tapes that were laid down in me. Again, this is not a criticism. This is not a judgment of how those tapes are laid down, just a recognition of that it's there. You know, I lived in a family where there's a lot of dysfunction, and I voiced a lot of opinions about that dysfunction, and I was always made to feel like the problem. So the problem wasn't the problem. The problem was that I had a problem with the problem. And again, I always say that my first degree was self-therapy because I really didn't know what was appropriate, what was appropriate behavior, what was healthy, because I didn't have those kinds of role models. But, you know, those old tapes of me being the problem or me being the one that you know, caused issues in the house, they all still lie there. And, you know, I'm going through something right now where I want to take a new direction with my business and hire a new professional. And I feel guilty about letting the person I've been working with previously go, the person I've been working with for the last 2 years. I'm really struggling with that. It just, you know, in my core, in the center of me, it's just a relationship that's not serving me anymore. It's not the direction I want to go. I'm being drawn to another direction, and I feel tremendously guilty for wanting to go off in another direction, which means I can't work with this person. And I'm really, really struggling with it. And because I've never really allowed myself, entitled myself to say, hey, I get to change my mind, or I get to decide and I get to do what feels good for me, even if it lets someone else down. If they
and
feel
what works for you.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not that you get to, you deserve to. Like you
right.
deserve to. As much as that person deserved to be hired, you were the hirer, so you deserve to decide. You know, you're the decider. You know, you're the one who gets to say if it's working or not, because that's your right. That's your
and
right
I think
as a business owner.
A lot
owner
of women, Susan, it's
human
so hard to end a relationship that's not working for them. I know, because women are the caregivers. I have a
oh,
girlfriend
right.
I work with, and her 94-year-old grandma had a terrible fall. And she was talking to me about her grandma and telling me things. And she said, you know, my grandmother never remarried because she said, you know, I don't want another man to take care of. You know, I know I can't tell you how many elderly women feel that way.
Right.
But when
well,
was it decided?
We were caretaker. I mean, generations
yeah.
ago, we were raised that way. And
right, to be a
and
caretaker.
And we were talking earlier, you and I, like, you have a Catholic background. I have an early Catholic background, but my lineage does too. And
I feel tremendous guilt. Tremendous
yeah.
guilt often.
And guilt, that's
yeah.
right, but guilt isn't anything to, this is from me. We do have a caller I want to recognize. I will take in a moment. But my take on guilt though, Paula, and probably yours too, what I would love to say for the audience is that's not a given. That's sort of a man-made term that really kept us in submission, and that keeps us low, and that keeps us on the path, and that keeps us just right, you know, behind the curtain as, you know, not, don't make waves. Don't make waves. Make waves. I want to hear you splash. Splash in front of me. You know, I want to see your waves, because that's where our beauty is. You know, be quiet, be humble. Yes, be humble and be kind, but make waves. You know, if that's you, like I can see you, Paula, I know what you do and I know what you're talking about. I want to see you splash and make waves and go, I just nailed, you know, received or whatever, secured the most awesome person to work for me who's going to bring my business to the next level, da da da. You know, and consequence is, or the next action is, oh, but that just means, you know, I have to let the one that needs to go find his or her perfect partner. I need that person needs to be free to go. I'm still hanging on to that person. I have to let them go. You know, that's that reframe of a rut and of guilt. It's good news. You know, what we're guilty of means we did something wrong. Like, no, being a human being and running a business isn't wrong. Or, you know, you're not malice. There's no malice in your heart or your situation. And I'm talking not just to you, Paula, but to anybody who
yeah.
struggles with guilt. And I did too. I mean, it took me years to peel away some of what I'm talking about. You know, this is really from me. And
I always love how you frame things, Susan. I always love how you frame, you know, sometimes the act of separating from each other serves the other just as much as you, but they also maybe, you know, don't have the nerve, you know.
That's right. And
action.
Or their fear is, I don't want to be fired, I need the money too. But something
yeah.
in you or in him or her is saying, oh, but we both know we need to be free. This has to be made. Just be stronger. Just someone do it. And it lets us all just do what we're supposed to do in the order
yeah.
it's supposed to be made. But I'd like to welcome a caller. Thank you for calling. The last three digits are 931. And I'm going to unmute you. Or Paula, is that you? Paula?
931.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a different number. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. Last digits
okay.
are 523.
You have me.
Okay. Hello, Colin.
Hey, there you are.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. What's your first name?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, how are you? And what would you like to share or ask?
Would I like to share or ask?
Oh, I'm just, yes, what would you like to share or ask? You have the microphone, so go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to see if you were, like, doing intuitive readings or that kind of thing.
Did you have a specific question that you
I'm kind of just leaving it up to the angels, if you like. I could ask a question, but anything that they want to bring up.
Okay. If you can give me an area of your life, I would be happy to give you, a quick, card and see what I get.
Okay.
So,
I'm just hoping
give me an area.
I'm hoping just actually for some financing, some money. I need to buy a car and a computer.
Okay, Nathaniel. Okay. All right. So, all right. Let's see. And I am going to. So we're asking about your financial situation or what you need to know. So how this really works or how I sort of tune in is what you need to know right now surrounding your finances. So, all right. And I'm going to just ask 1 minute. It'll take just about 30 seconds. And nothing. Okay. So I am going to just pull a card for guidance and go from there. For Nathaniel. Okay. I'm going to read you what I pulled, and then I'll describe to you or translate what I feel it means for you. Authenticity Authenticity is the essence of power. Our ancient ancestors believed every place has a spirit looking after it or embodying it, just as we have a soul. The plants, trees, birds, and mountains and rivers have their own essences. When this card arrives in your reading, it says the answer to your question is in the overarching theme of your circumstances. So we'll talk about that in a minute. Is your question about a struggle? The answer is to relax and let go of your need to control the situation. If it relates to finding love, then embody love rather than long for it. Once you find the truth that underlies your question and then name it, you'll discover the answer you've been seeking. Your greatest power is your authenticity. Does any of that ring a bell or make sense to you? Does it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess that's pretty original.
Okay. So to me, the overarching theme of your circumstances. So this is finances. Now, and that's sort of your struggle. It says, is it about a struggle? Do you have more than one job?
You know, I don't have a job. I don't even have a job right now. I was working under the table for under minimum wage at this one place, but I'm actually on disability now. We got in kind of an argument where I was a security guard for like a party of like 400 or 500 people. And, you know, it's supposed to be one guard per 50 people. And I was telling one, you know, you could use some help if, you know, things go wrong, you know. I'm really, with 500 drunk people and everything,
okay.
You know, I thought it was unfair. He was kind of doing a dirty trick. So I actually got on disability, so it's time for rebirthing for me, so...
Okay, so this card and what we're talking about tonight really sort of ties in. It's really asking you to embody what it is that you're looking for. If you're looking for, you know, help, financial help, or which really means you're looking to partner up and you're looking to gain respect, to gain, somebody to give you a loan for a car or something like that. So you're looking for that. So you need to embody that. I'm not sure if it's in your approach that could be tweaked or how you, you know, approach your partners or the banks or whatever. But I think that's that's where this lies, is to look at it as you're in a situation where it is, you do have an opportunity for this. It's not that I don't feel like you're going to be denied it, but I think it's how, you know, don't worry about why you lost that job or aren't working. That doesn't have anything to do with your money situation right now. I mean, it does, but not why you're not getting finances.
It was kind of a blessing because I was working graveyard and I don't want to interfere with my sleep or dream patterns.
So, you know, God or the universe made a decision. Here you are. But I think it's in perspective and your perspective and your approach. That's just really what I'm feeling. But I just don't feel like this is a big negative or a big no. I think it's a stepping stone in your being you and being Nathaniel, the best that he can be. And I think this is just going to bring it out of you. It might be your current rut, but it's how you get around it and get through it and get through to those that need to hear you. They need to see you. They need to see your soul more than, you know, Nathaniel coming in and, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes, I need to. They want to see the authentic me, right?
The authentic you, the real you, and the, hey, you know, so here I am. You know, this happened. You're not a victim. You're not mad. You're not angry. You're not, you might be. I'm not saying you're not. You don't have reason to be. It's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this particular thing you need and this particular struggle, I'm feeling is going to take a little tweak in Nathaniel so his best shows up. Because your best is there. Yeah, you have it. Your circumstances aren't the best, are not, work. You know, the best they could be right now. So is that helpful to you?
So it's not going to be so much of a struggle. I'll be able to work through it.
If you are just you and you just show up with your heart on your sleeve and hey, I'm a man. This is what I'm doing. This is what I need. Here I am. Can you help me? There are people that are going to receive you that way, and they want to. And I'm not saying you're not doing that, but I'm saying that's what I'm seeing. This is, don't worry about it too much. I just said, that's all. That's just my feeling.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hey, Paula.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. We have another caller, and they may have another question about the rod and don't furnish it. I'm excited people are calling.
Perfect.
Let me unmute them. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, I am. Another guy.
Hi. How are you? What is your first name?
My name is Jay. I'm calling from Canada.
And what can we do for you tonight? Do you have a question or comment about tonight's show?
Yeah, I just wondered, why is it in our human brain or wiring system that we can't get over rut sometimes because we always keep, building up the readiness, I guess, of the situation, and we think we can't get out of it. I wonder what is it? Is it caused by, like, maybe programming? Is it caused by beliefs?
Yeah.
Or is it a combination of everything? I just wondered.
I think it is, and I also think and feel, and I'll let Paula pipe in here in a second of her thoughts, but I feel like we often get comfortable. It's a comfort zone thing. We, you know, it's like we know what we're going to do. Once we expect something, even if it's bad or not favorable, because it's familiar, it doesn't require work to change. And we all seem to be afraid of work, or we have this fear of, but it'll take ... Okay. Now we know it'll take ... to change. Okay, what are you willing to exchange for that? Are you going to exchange some time or some energy or some inner work or outer work? But it's really awareness that it is a rut as well. Like also, you know, just check in with, is it a rut or is it, you know, something else? Maybe it's just, you know, reframing it and putting that perspective on. Does that make sense or help at all?
Yeah. I just wonder whether there's sometimes the root causes of it. It's like, It's really interesting because I can get into those ruts sometimes too, and I go like, okay, I got to do something that takes some action about it, and usually it is action, some sort of type of thing. Is that we go back into the rut again because we think it's almost like crawling out
right.
of a, I don't know, a deep trance or a rabbit hole been down for such a long time we can't see the
right.
light.
Yeah. And there is a subconscious comfort of that, and I, you know, it sounds weird, but there is, you know, they've done studies on children, like toddlers who have been abused in abusive relationships. You put them on a street corner and they see the abusive parent and a stranger, they're going to run to the abusive parent because it's the only thing they know. And, you know, that's true. And I don't know, Paula, do you have perspective?
Yeah, sorry, I missed your name. Did you share your name with us?
Yes, Jay.
Oh, hi, Jay. First of all, I just wanted to say that I'm not a registered therapist. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I do have a sociology, psychology degree. And like I've often said on the show, a lot of the studies that I did were self-therapy. I think you've sort of hit the nail on the head with a whole bunch of things. You and Susan have talked about the fact that nothing exists in a vacuum and everything is related. And if you don't mind sharing, Jay, how old are you?
I'm 51.
51. I'm 48. And so I would say that in my 20s, I spent a lot of time on the why and the root causes. And one thing that I'll say is that didn't make me happier. Knowing why doesn't necessarily always help anyone change the what. So it wasn't until I started doing some work around reprogramming, I knew a lot of the why, and I knew a lot of the what I was supposed to be doing on a cognitive level, but a lot of my tapes were stored subconsciously, you know, stored in my subconscious, and as they say, most of your tracks in your subconscious are laid down prior to the age of 6, so you can, that's why a lot of people, you know, feel that cognitive therapy doesn't work for them. And when I say cognitive therapy, I mean where you're thinking about your problems. And that's why today a lot of people are getting into more of the therapies that can access the deep subconscious and change your emotional reaction to external stimulus. So things like hypnosis. Have you heard of EFT tapping?
Yes.
Those sorts of things. I can't remember the brain wave activity is. There's an acronym for it. But what I would say is
the meridian.
Theta, theta brainwave. Theta
yes, exactly. Theta brainwave work or whatever. I am in love with Esther Hicks and Abraham Hicks. Do you know them?
Yes, I do.
So I love their work because what she's all about is getting yourself to the next best feeling. So, you know, if you are feeling shame, regret, fear, anxiety, revenge, any of those states, you're not likely going to be living in a place where you're happy. It's not going to be easy to get out of ruts. You're not going to be enveloped in great feelings. So I'm a big believer in you can trick your body into feeling better and your mind will follow in a way. So do the work with the subconscious. Do things that make you feel happy. Focus on bringing more joy and happiness into your life because when you're happier and lighter, you attract that to you. You attract the things and the people that will actually help lift you out of a rut. So singing, dancing, coloring, spending time with my son, these are the things that give me immense joy. And then I would say, you know, if you really want to, I mean, the reasons where people are so complex, the reasons you're in different ruts, and particular ruts at different times could have anything to do, you know, it could be a combination of what Susan was talking about, comfort, you know, the devil you know, fear of change, creating self-fulfilling prophecies for ourselves. You know, we've all heard people who say, see, that's what always happens to me. So, you know, what I try to focus on is what is the thing I want in my life? What is the joy? I'm not focusing on the rut. I'm focusing on what I'm building outside of that rut, and then you naturally just get out of that rut to go after it. You see what I mean? If you focus on the rut, then if you focus on the potholes, you often just land in them, right? And leave the how to the universe. Leave the how to the universe. I know this might sound counterproductive, but you're 51, Jay, and if you've been focusing on the root causes and it's not working, just try something new.
Well, my question is too regarding being a rut and things like that is about our reality. Because I was thinking about this the other day, is that when it happened, whatever beliefs that we get programmed to, it happened at that time. That was a reality that was at that moment.
And you know, Jay,
it was a perception.
Like, you're right.
It was a perception,
yeah, so,
not a reality.
So when it actually happened.
It may not be true, Joe, but you know what, Jay? I'm sorry, I just want to come in here. I know we have just about a couple minutes left, but it may not be true. When we say reality and programming, we have to remember that's other people's stuff. That's our parents, that's our aunt, that's the person who babysat us, that's my first girlfriend or boyfriend. Yes, it may have seemed real, but it may not have been anything for us to have adopted as a way of life to carry on and to live our lives. Because that's, if we can look at it that way, we can really, really determine what is not ours, what has been passed down or inherited and needs to just be go, or, you know, let go. Have you guys heard of reticular vision? It just reminds me of this. When, you know, when you buy a new car, say you buy a Honda, and suddenly, or you're looking at buying a Honda, suddenly all you see are Hondas on the road. You see every Honda.
You
see the one you want. Suddenly everyone has a Honda. But if you weren't concentrating, if that wasn't in your mind and you're looking to buy one, looking to purchase one, bring that into your life, you wouldn't see Hondas. And I believe the same is for ruts and potholes and all of that. I really believe a lot of times we're just so used to interruptions when things are really going great. The other shoe's going to drop. And it's to go, you know what, everything is going great. What else is going great? What is going good? Just like Paula said, focus on what is working and more. I really believe we can change the energy and bring in more of what's working. And everything else, you know, needs energy to survive, even negative stuff and thoughts. So
yeah,
we keep things alive by talking about them. So anyway, well, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. It was a great subject. So I just caught it the tail end, so I got it. So thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks for sharing,
Jay. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Paula, so
we're
that
at
was
the
a
end.
Great show. We
yeah.
are at the end.
So I want to say my little quote before we go, which is
yes.
I've stolen from Oprah, that stories shared around the world connect people and change lives. So Susan, my soul sister, thank you for sharing and connecting with me, and thank you to our callers. You know, hopefully together with sharing our stories, we can change, you know, our lives and change the world we live in.
Exactly. Thank you, too. And don't forget to find us on Facebook at Susan Mullen Intuitive Living, and find Paula on Facebook at Think Care Share. And we will talk to you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Great week. Thank you.